Well, this is a very interesting reading, and prior to it is a very interesting story about the Samaritan woman. I remember when I lived in France, this was many years ago. I think it was in sometime in 1985. One of my friends, or someone whom I led to the Lord, introduced me to something called an artichoke. It's actually a vegetable, and I've not seen an artichoke in my life. And one way to cook it is to simply boil or put it in a boiling water and put some little bit of salt. And when served, you peel the petal one by one until you get to the heart. You don't really eat the outer petals. There's nothing really there. But once you are near to the heart, to the center of the artichoke, then you actually dip the lower tip of the petal to a honey mustard dressing. It is actually very good. I learned it in France. And so an artichoke has different layers. And similar to it is an onion. An onion has many different layers. And the reason why I started with that thought is because the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus's discourse with the Samaritan woman has different layers. Let me give you a little bit of background, but first let me say, in the time of Jesus, it was scandalous for anyone, any Jew, to talk to a Samaritan, much less a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman. That was something that was scandalous. You could not do it. So that's the reason why the disciples were tight-lipped, but they were thinking, why was he speaking to a Samaritan woman? And then you know the story. The Samaritan woman went to the well, and Jesus met her there, and Jesus asked for water, and the Samaritan woman said, I'm not supposed to talk with you. And Jesus then entered and engaged her into a conversation of, if you knew the gift of God, you would not ask me such question. And then as we move forward, and perhaps tomorrow we'll be reading about worship. And so you see the connection, and right in between you have Jesus expressing his zeal to do his mission here on earth, that his mission to die on the cross is related to something like harvest, bringing humanity back to God. But let us take some steps backward and very quickly and look at some history here. The background story is that after King Solomon's reign, about 930 BC before Christ, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdoms. 10 tribes comprised the north, while the two remaining tribes formed the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom immediately fell into apostasy and idolatry, rejecting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and followed various Canaanite religious cults. After centuries of warnings from the prophets, Israel's northern kingdom was finally attacked and destroyed by Assyria. Peoples from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamat, and other places settled in Israel, and they renamed it Samaria, now named rather Samaria. These new settlers brought with them pagan worship, making the northern kingdom of Israel a religious and ethnic blend, considered by the southerners as heresy, treachery, and betrayal. No wonder why they did not like the Samaritans. There was this great divide. In other words, Samaria has espoused syncretism, embracing many religions. From one layer, going back to the reading, from one layer, Jesus is merely talking to a woman from Samaria, whom he's trying to perhaps evangelize. And that Jesus has some extrasensory powers to have known that this woman had had 5 husbands. But on a deeper level, on another level, or another layer, if you will, the woman is representing Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom has had 5 husbands, In other words, worshiping different gods, believing in different gods due to the influence of those who settled there from outside. But at its deepest level, Jesus is talking about himself. For he is the God whom the Samaritans have failed to worship. Jesus is the husband Samaria doesn't have because the people have married the five Baal pagan gods from Babylon, Kutha, Ava, Hamath, and others. There's no such thing as a non-religious human being. You know, there are people who say, well, I'm not really religious. Well, as anyone is entitled to believe what he believes, but people say, you know, I don't want to get involved in religion because religion is too complicated and for other reasons. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, there is no such thing as a non-religious human being. Whether people worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether a people, Christians, worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob revealed in Jesus Christ, or a God of their own making, whether people worship an idea, whether people worship nature, creation, or even self. So there's no such thing as a non-religious human being. We were wired, we were created to worship. And it's not a matter of worshiping, it's a matter of whom do we worship? Who do we worship, rather? Are we worshiping the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ? Or were worshiping someone else? Jesus comes, as he talks to this woman, Jesus comes and says, I bring you the water of life. And that speaks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, of which the Samaritans were thirsty of. They were thirsty of that water. They were looking here and there, worshiping other gods, but actually the one they were looking for was Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to offer himself, to offer new life. Through his cross and comes the Holy Spirit, offers to the Jews and to the Samaritans the water which will quench their thirst, the thirst of their heart. Jesus offers the waters of baptism, preparing his bride, the church, to sanctify her and gives himself to her in the Eucharist. I know that many people have, over the years, have had this struggle, particularly after the world has become industrialized and had become more towards, have moved towards more the importance of materialism in life, that people, even Christians, struggle between the sacredness of Sunday and the temptation to work on Sunday. I would like to bring us back to the power of worshiping God on Sunday. Sunday is the most blessed day of the week. I am aware of many essential reasons for Sunday worship, but Sunday is the most blessed day of the week. On Sunday, when we go and come together to be the church, we receive something that we cannot acquire by human labor. We labor from Monday until Friday or Saturday, but guess what? In spite of human labor, in spite of our best labors, my brothers and sisters, God gives to us something that we cannot produce, manufacture, acquire through our human labor. And on Sunday, we come before God and he gives to us something that we are thirsty of, something that we are looking for. He gives himself to us in the Eucharist for the life of the world. I pray that this reflection will strengthen your understanding of the importance of Sunday, the coming together. It is more than a religious duty, my brothers and sisters. It's more than that. It's God giving of himself to us. And to the woman of Samaria, Jesus was giving himself and telling the Samaritans, what you have been looking for, I am. No wonder why the Samaritans said to Jesus, why don't you stay here? Because now we believe. The Samaritans ended believing in the one true God.